Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Scott Shank. Kevin is out tonight, so I got my good friend Captain Leon Dana joining me tonight to talk about a little fishing and a little bit of boat maintenance.
A little bit of that.
Both of us had that this week. So, unfortunate kind of boat maintenance, but hey, you know, that's what this time of year is made for. Leon, because, I mean, real quick, we're just going to kind of clear this out in the air because it is only going to go downhill from here.
Quickly.
Tomorrow, south winds, 20 to 25 knots with gusts to around 35. Seas 4 to 6, occasional ups to 8. Friday, west winds, 20 to 25 knots with gusts to around 35. But I'm telling you, folks, that's that front that's going to come through early in the morning. It's supposed to be through here.
Right.
By like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning kind of thing. So I really have to say I hope, because I got a trip leaving the dock at 10 on Friday. So I'm hoping by then the wind's kind of backed off. At least it is kind of sort out of the west.
For your sakes, I hope so.
Yeah, no kidding. But so Saturday, northeast winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming east-southeast in the afternoon, 2 to 3. So, I mean, period 8 seconds, I mean, it probably is going to be doable with a west wind blowing and then slowing down as the day progresses, because they have had the winds to back off as Friday keeps going. So Saturday looks like pretty darn good. But, I mean, then you got north-northeast winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming east-northeast in the afternoon, 2 to 3. That's just, I mean, you could almost get suckered into that forecast being it's 2 to 3. I understand, but I can tell you, from the reports that I got yesterday, from the guys that went wahoo fishing and all that kind of stuff, it was bad, nasty out there. It was pretty darn rough from hearing the reports and stuff like that. So they said it was sloppy as all get out. So, that wasn't a good thing to hear. They said it was fine up to that, but once they cleared about 20 miles, it started getting a little sloppy out there. So they said it was just a real close together Leon 3 to 5, but like 6 seconds. I mean, it was just snotty. So
I don't want to get smacked around like that.
No, we're having just a little technical difficulty with you, Leon, right in 1 second.
It's not so. It's always technical.
So. Anyhow, I'm going to have to figure this out here in a minute. Sorry, Leon.
It's all good, brother. Here we go.
All right. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, Leon. My bad. I'm going to talk to myself, but I'm going to include you in my talking. But anyhow, while we're doing that, I can go back and we could do the tides real quick, because that's still the important process of the inshore fishing side of things. Tomorrow morning, you're going to – this is out of St. Augustine now, folks. Tomorrow morning, you're going to have a low tide at 12:37 in the afternoon, and then the high tide is going to be at 6:14 a.m. And then on Friday, you're going to have a low tide at 1:27 p.m. with a high tide at 7:05 a.m. in the morning, which is a 5.2 going to a 0.1. Saturday, you have a – high tide at 7:56 a.m. and then a low tide at 2:15 p.m., which is going to be a negative 0.1.
So then you throw
the little bit of west on the backside of that. On so that's for Saturday. You know, even that being said, even on Friday, if they're calling 20 knots or whatever starting in the morning or whatever, it's still going to be a negative tide. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And then we're coming up to the new moon, I think. No.
For supermoon.
Yeah, supermoon. I'm sorry. Supermoon. Supermoon is on Saturday, by the way. And then Sunday, oh my gosh, here we go. We got a high tide at 8:47 a.m., which is a 5.5. And then you got a low at 3:02 p.m., which is a negative 4.
Yep.
Negative 0.4.
Yeah, I got a negative 4.6.
Yep. So, with that being said, I could tell you, fishing the last few days along with you, it has been it's always nice fishing in between the moon like this the
sure.
last week or so. There is the movement of water. You can go out there. You can literally fish the jetties, which we never get to do out of St. Augustine, dang near the whole time because
right.
it's truly not that much.
It's not blistering.
It's not. No, it's not smoking out like it's going to be next week. You know, now next week we're going to, I mean, it's going to be running coming out, you know, coming out of the top side.
Sure it will.
Of that moon. But, yeah, I was trying to do my math. But, yeah, the 7th, 8th, yeah, we got the full moon coming up soon. When did they ever come up with all these blue
names?
Moons, red moons, summer moons,
listen,
king moons? It's a full moon.
Well,
I never heard of.
I'll tell you where it comes from. You get all these meteorologists and weathermen. They got nothing to do until a hurricane comes.
Get all together.
They
Jim Canturi heads this
something.
Up. Okay. I just figured it must be one conference every year so they can name the moons.
Yeah, I swear.
I mean, nothing against it, but it's, you know, hey, you know, before it was, you know, a hurricane came, and of course it was named, and that stretches back from 1950 and stuff like that or whatever. But all of a sudden, in the last 3 or 4 years, I was watching the Weather Channel the other day. Now we got Winter Storm Jerry or Winter Storm. I mean, I'm going, wait a minute.
They're that damn bored, trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I mean, good gosh. I mean, it's just, yes, okay, I'm not going to say it isn't a blizzard coming across Buffalo or something, but, I mean, when did we ever start naming? I mean, I thought we only named kind of, I hate to say but catastrophe. I mean, that it really, you know, changed the outcome. I mean,
sure.
It's a blizzard. You just stay in your house for a day or whatever. I mean, that's what happens when you live north of us.
The only thing
snow.
The only thing, Scott, that drives me crazy is when, and don't get me wrong when I say this, people, when my clients start listening to the weathermen a week in advance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, doesn't that always, doesn't
I
that
start
just.
Start getting phone calls and texts from clients a week in advance to go, next week they say the weather is going to be XYZ on this date.
Yep.
I shut that down real quick. I said,
yep.
Listen.
Yep.
I trust my weatherman as far as I can throw my boat.
No.
Okay? Just listen to me.
Honestly, truthfully, I've listened to that sometimes, and my wife's the first one to go. She goes, really?
You're going to buy that?
You know, yeah. you cancel. Look at how pretty today, you know, up until XYZ time or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, don't start. Yes, I did. So basically now, like I tell everybody, you know, even tomorrow they're calling Weather Authority Alert Day, okay?
Yeah.
And 90% chance of rain, going to blow like crazy. But where the tides are right now and everything else, there is no reason that you can't leave the house. I mean, leave the dock at 7:30, fish till noontime. I mean, they're calling it to come
yeah.
through, you know, through Jacksonville, St. Augustine area and stuff like that.
Late evening.
I mean, starting maybe around 8 o'clock or something like that tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I mean, the wind, the wind supersedes it. I could tell you the last 3 days, I mean, it has been flat gorgeous up until about 11:30. And then the sea breeze comes up maybe 10 or 12 knots or whatever. You know, yesterday was a little strong, but, you know, I mean, the pictures I took the last few days and stuff like that early morning,
right.
I mean, it is just as slick can be,
yeah.
You know. I didn't get around any creeks that early in the morning because I know what happens when it's warm. I mean, because you go out in a jacket at 6:30. You know, you have a little whatever, a little flannel, a little, you know,
yeah.
long, you know, little sweatshirt on. And, man, I'll tell you, by the time the sun comes up, it's 7:45, 8 o'clock, good. You're peeling it off. You're ready
peeling.
To go, you know.
Yep, like
but
onion.
It was like, I was going, man, do I really want to go into a creek right now?
You these
know?
Sand gnats are going to start coming out.
So, yeah. So it was, you know, it just... you just got to kind of think about it. It's like, let's see, where can I go like trout fishing on this high tide right this second? Because I really don't want to get into the back of a creek right now.
Those sand gnats can be just absolutely brutal.
So, yeah, that. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know where you're weak. Kind of thing, you know. You had some fun times. You got to spend quality time yesterday, which I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And took Dad and got him a couple fish to put in the freezer, and you know, it was kind of funny because we talked that early in that morning. I said, "Where are you at?" And he said, "Well, I'm way up here. I got Dad." And I kind of scratched my head. I went, "Who?
Who?" Yeah.
I said, "I got Dad." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah. We probably hadn't fished in a decade." I said, "Well, good for you, man. That's great." You know, I guess your charter for that day did cancel the night before or whatever. So,
did.
You know, it was like, hey, Dad, you know, I got something going on. Let's go have fun.
Yep.
And, man, the pictures you sent me, that school of fish, the video that you shot, I mean, is that?
It's a solid.
Was he laying on, they were laying on top of an oyster bed and you spooked him off the top of an oyster bed?
They're laying on one of my flats.
Okay.
And it's a solid 100 fish school.
It was impressive.
It's a solid 100 fish.
It was impressive when the water moved. I mean, the whole, and it was that pretty time of the morning again where it was 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you just watched that whole water just lift up. It was like, whoa.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we're really blessed this time of year. You know, you get a few good days of weather, and if you're able to get free from work, and
yep.
I know it's not always easy to do that, but you got to be able to break away to get that one little opening slot.
Yep.
And we had 2 days. We actually had 3 days.
3 days.
Today was the last day.
Yep. Yep.
Water,
you can scratch out probably early tomorrow morning. You could probably scratch if you were a polling, you know, a technical skiff kind of a guy.
Sure.
We start. The only thing I question mm-hmm. the night before is when I start coming up and they got, you know, wind advisory, you know. And I just, when they pull up small craft advisory, you kind of go,
you know what I do?
You know,
I'm a dirty dog. I'll sit at the house. I'll pick up the phone at 6 a.m. in the morning and call the bait shop,
yep.
which is Palm Valley Outdoors right there in the valley where I charter. And I go, hey, what's the flag doing?
Yeah.
It's sitting straight down. Leona said, I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Right. And I get that. But it's just, gosh, that like tomorrow is somewhat of a sucker forecast as well. You know, you could probably make your day out. You probably could go.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, they're calling, like I said, you know, 15 to 25, a gust of 35. Hey. What do you do? You know.
Well, it's a prefrontal bite. You know that for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt about
water
it.
Water temperature 60 degrees.
Yep.
The trout are fired up in the valley. The flounder are just unbelievable. I can't believe the flounder that I'm catching every charter now. And the redfish are schooled up nicely. And I don't mean just in one spot. It's thick everywhere, and I'm so happy. I mean, you can fish the flats, you can fish the creeks, you can fish, I mean, the main channel.
Yep.
They're everywhere right
yep.
now.
Yep, yep, so. With the wind. Anyhow. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, folks. You listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Scott Shank. Sitting with me is Captain Leon Dana. If you need to chime in, 641-1010, 641-1010. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Scott Shank. Sitting here with me tonight is Captain Leon Dana,
yep.
Captain Kevin Favor, and Captain Chip Wingo are up on the northern country doing some work around on their properties, which is no big deal. Because it's
perfect this time of year.
Yeah, it's nice and cool. I mean, I talked to them both today, and it's a perfect time to, like they talked about on the outdoor show. If you're gonna, you know, get your tree stands ready and all this kind of, you know, or you
the
could
property.
Do the property wise, you could do some cutting and sawing. I mean, it's after the fact, so
yeah,
they're
do it right after
they're
the
doing
month,
that. And they're just kind of. Let's just call both of them are like shutting their homes down because it's in another month we're going to be.
Well, Chip will be turkey hunting.
Well, that
month.
I mean, both of them will, but yeah, but I mean, for the most part, we're all going to be busy and not going to have time to do some. So then, anyhow,
the truth.
They're just up there working, so they're okay. I told them we can handle it tonight. It's not a big deal. I don't need them. It's all good.
So let's talk. You want to talk boat maintenance for a minute?
Yeah, let's talk about boat maintenance because I sure had some issues this week.
Well, you know, folks, I mean. we're sitting here with the water temperature at 60 degrees and we're already catching fish, and before you know it, it's going to be really time to get out and go fishing. So
hold on. We're going to bring your partner in because I'm sure he's got a little bit to say about you.
Oh, yes.
So let's just bring on Captain Chip Wingo.
What's shaking, guys?
Hey, brother. Hey, I think you have a little bit to say about the subject that Leon is starting to carry on. So I really actually want to hear your version more than I want to hear his.
Of what, the boat?
Yes.
Motor problem?
Yeah.
I just happened to notice it yesterday when he pulled in. It had a little weeping on one of the screws, plugs for the lower unit.
Yeah.
And it was definitely milk and magnesia when he opened it up.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt that was that.
And nothing against it, but, you know, that saved your life. That was a $3,000 repair. That was fixed to become a new lower unit.
Oh, yeah. It was on the verge of very bad.
Very bad. You know, and folks, you know, there you go. Chip just happened to be standing watching, I guess, him backing in or him whatever straighten up his boat and happened to look down and saw, oil or milky colored coming out of the lower unit. And just saying, that's everyday stuff. I mean, I do. I walk around my boat at nighttime when I get done with my day. You know, you hook the fresh water up to the engine chip. You drain, you wash out your engine. And while you're standing right there is a great time to pull on the prop and all that kind of stuff to make sure everything's tight.
Yep.
You know, I look at the prop to make sure that there's a cotter key still there. Yeah. There's a nut still there, you know. Because there's nothing worse, trust me.
You always got to check for braided line or line that's in your prop.
Just dangling, yes.
You know, or take your prop off and look. I mean, you won't see it a lot of times, but, you know, there's all, I mean, it's when we're on the water as much as we are, you know how it is. It's something's going to happen eventually.
Sure.
And it's just the nature of the beast. But if you can notice it first and stop it, that's pretty cool. Because, I mean, we got lucky on that one. I say we because I felt bad because I know what that's like. You're all of a sudden you feel helpless.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, that could have been, that literally could have been a towing in situation.
Yeah. I mean, my last service was 40 hours ago.
Well, not just that. You could have been out a week or two waiting on a lower unit, if they don't have it in stock. So.
Been there and done that last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did learn something yesterday.
Go ahead.
I learned that if you stomp on a beer can in a boat, you'll still get schooled at redfish.
Oh, my God. Did you hear this story?
Oh, my. No. But go ahead.
Go ahead, Chip. Tell the story.
You need to talk to Kevin while you're up there about what happens on our boats when people do that. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're about 100 yards away from Leon. And, you know, Leon put a clinic on with his dad on this big school of reds that we were bouncing back and forth. But, all of a sudden, I hear Leon with a few choice words, "Dad, what were you thinking?" And his dad took a Mick Ultra can and set it down on the deck and stomped on it.
Swear to God, my dad did that.
And it was your dad.
It was my dad. In all my years,
I've
never had that happen.
I'm just trying to save space on the boat, son.
I mean, literally, he frog stomped a beer can on the deck of my boat.
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't believe he did it. He stomped it. I mean, I looked at him, and I did say a couple choice words to my own father.
Yeah. No.
What was he thinking.
No, and I get it, and everybody has different boats and runs different boats, but...
I don't care what boat you run.
No. But basically, the point I'm trying to say here is, kind of running to another spot or whatever, and you hear that crinkle, and you go... What the heck was that? And then all of a sudden, you know, we get to the spot, and I'll hear him open up the track because in the Sea Foxes, one on each side, you have these little, I don't know, 2x2 hatches.
Sure.
Well, I have a trash can in one of them. So I tell everybody when we're going through the safety gear and all that, first thing when you get on the boat, trash can's right behind there, you know, use it to whenever you need. and I'll go, and I look at the guy and I go, "Are you serious?
Did you just do that?
Well, did you crush it with your hand?" "Oh, no, I put it on the deck, but I didn't want the whole thing to fill up because we brought a case of beer." "Well, why'd you bring a case of beer? You're never going to drink a case of beer the whole time you're out here, unless you're not going to fish." And anyhow, I'm sorry, but it's a $100,000 boat. If you dead on my boat, I promise you, it's a quick trip back to the dock.
You're not ruining
my glass when you don't. You know, I mean,
I told Leon it would be like him going to one of his dad's collectible cars and cleaning a bug off with a wire brush.
Yeah. Or let me come to your house with a glass screen door and let me run a ring down the whole thing. You know, what is your, you know, what's your thoughts then?
Chip, maybe you there's know? A reason why I haven't taken my
I mean,
dad
come
fishing
on,
in
10 people.
Years.
That is a possibility.
Scotty, I swear, we're on a flat full of redfish and we're pulling off of the flat and it's all nice and quiet and running the trolling motor. I was like, I'm getting away from Chip so we don't make any extra noise. Kaboom! And I look back at my dad like, what the hell? And
we've been in the water. At least I have. I've been in the water. I've heard what a trolling motor sounds like underwater, which you just, you know, yeah. real low. And I understand that theory of, and we have seen it happen. I have seen it happen with you where we're kind of trying to get up to the school and you go up that one extra speed on the remote
and then bolt.
See ya,
yep.
And then they blow.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I've heard the recorder underneath the water. It's like a pinging sound.
Yep. And I turn that off too.
You know, and gosh, I mean, well, the reason I'm saying this is years ago, scalloping and stuff, we take the family and stuff, we go over to Steinahatchee and all
sure.
that and scallop. And, you know, trolling motor be on or whatever, and we're getting drug around, whatever it may be. But anyhow, and a boat engine, you can hear it from a considerable distance away. So, I mean, I'm that's why I'm not a big fan of fishing around like holidays and stuff like that. I just figure those fish, I mean, it's one thing to fish really deep water, but trying to get in a creek or a main river ditch or something like that and try to fish a bank is those fish got to go, what in the world is that coming over my head?
See, I would have forgotten all about this beer can incident because my head was so wrapped around getting the lower unit fixed. And then Chip brings the beer can back up. Just rears his ugly head, man.
You didn't have nothing to type in about that one? I mean, you're the one trying to fish these fish.
Chip was too far away for me to say anything about my dad's follies when he did that one, thank God.
All right.
But it was...
People, please don't put beer cans out on my deck.
Yeah,
I mean, just
don't do that, please.
Just kind of roll them in. If you feel like you got to squash them, just kind of squash them in half and with your hand and throw them in trash.
I mean, we could hear it all the way over where we were at, and I thought it was kind of funny. I was like, well, maybe he'll bump that school down to us now.
Talking about bouncing them back and forth, he just bounced them to you is what he did.
Yeah, but then they come by at Mach 6, and they're not interested in anything. So,
I got a video of this school coming past – right towards Chip's boat, and you can literally see Chip holding his breath because he's like, no one move.
Yeah.
Don't
wake or nothing like that. Don't
they're
move.
They're right on us.
Yeah. I mean, because that also does too. I mean, anybody slides that boat in a little wave pressure, I mean, that school's going to be gone too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you guys – I envy you guys for this time of year because you guys do get to see a lot more fish by what you do and how you guys approach it and everything else. And – you know, and it's getting that way, Chip. I mean, the water's starting to. I mean, it's cold right now. I get it, but we are moving slowly into daylight savings time. Thank goodness, can't wait. So, I mean, it's for us with the bigger boats. It's only going to get better and better. I mean, you know, truthfully, you know, Captain Rob Bennett fished today. Talked to him. You know, it's not like I mean we're having to work. You know, I mean to catch. You know, three or four reds or stuff like that, a couple black drum. The biggest thing that I have seen in the last couple days, Chip, is, I mean, went out to the jetties, and when I tell you not a bite, I'm telling you in 30 to 40 minutes, not a bite on the jetties, on the perfect little trickle tide. We're coming up on the moon, guys, so I would think that the sheephead have got to be getting ready to spawn somewhere on an oyster bar, on a sand
drum.
Flat, black drum included. Well, not maybe spawning, but yes, they should be mixed in with them. And I am telling you, not a bite. I mean, it was just as quiet could be out there. I was really surprised. Not even a ringtail or anything, Chip. I mean, nothing.
Wow.
Nothing on our jetties. And I was
surprised. I fished out there. What day was that, Scotty? Is it Monday? Yeah. And we caught some small black drum and a couple bigger black drum. But it was slow.
Yeah.
You know, and then unfortunately we ran out of time because the tides started getting beautiful when it was coming in.
Yep.
You know, and I was hoping to get on a couple big fish, but, you know, I mean, sometimes you end up spending too much time in a spot when you need to just bump and run, you know.
Now, so, let me ask you both. This is this time of year, so it's kind of sheephead-y fishing, okay?
I
just don't have the availability to do it because of the size of the boat. But with you guys and all, do you guys, like, put the trolling motor up against the dock kind of? I mean, do you guys, like literally go target sheephead, not by accidentally catching them on a roll down, you know, I mean, like, way I do it?
I know where to target them. I mean, in the valley, deep water shell beds that I have.
Yeah.
In
oh, yeah, but I'm just saying,
locations.
No, I'm saying docks, though. I mean, like, well, most of the pictures of most everyone that I talk to that are, you know, the gurus of sheephead fishing and stuff
right.
like that, they've only been catching them, like, around the bridges right now and the docks. I mean, would you guys do that? Because, I mean, I can't fit four guys on my bow to try to fish vertically straight up and down to catch a sheephead. Do you guys, like, literally?
I think we both fish, you know, if we fish rock structure, we do that a lot. But we don't really dock fish that much unless we're fishing for reds sometimes. But,
yeah.
You know, I know Leon's the same way because we fish the same patterns a lot of times. But,
right.
Like he was saying, deep water structure is where we do the best. And it catch
we do well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, I'll tell you, I mean, that chirp on that, I was with a gentleman on Monday that had the chirp on his hummingbird. I run, of course, Simrad, but anyhow, he had the chirp. And, boy, the definition that he has with the chirp compared to – I don't have the chip on mine. Yeah, it's a hummingbird.
Yeah.
It was incredible marking fish. I mean, you know, or marking more bottom than I am, you know, even working in and out on ledges and stuff like that. You know, I got to see – I'm not talking about the side scan, even though, you know, that was present on the boat too. I'm talking about having the chirp involved in it. I mean, I was almost like, dang, maybe I need to go back to Simrad and put the chirp in this thing now. You know?
Well, I tell you what, with the new one I put on my boat, Scotty, I can see when I pull over spots I've been fishing a lot with a regular depth recorder. Now I look at it and I go, well, that's why.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, well, you know, and then you can see very good definition, and then you can see the fish too, but
right.
you can see how you're fishing a ledge that comes and drops down to 6 feet, then it goes up about a foot, and then it drops off again, and that's where you're catching the fish. It's really neat to do.
It is, because I got to tell you, Chip, I mean, the only reason that I always known to fish – like these deep water drop-offs and all this kind of stuff,
right.
was just about how the jig head felt in my hands as it was rolling,
yeah.
and or whatever I picked up off the bottom, whether it be a clamshell with
right.
the seagrass, not seagrass, but the, I don't know, whatever you call the little, you know, the little yellow little trees-looking things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, whatever you call it. I mean, yeah, no, well, not, no, it's like coral, whatever. It's kind of, they hooked the big clamshells and stuff like that down there. But anyhow, you wouldn't know unless you catch something and go, okay, now, okay, two and two puts together. Okay, there's little crabs underneath these shell, whatever. That's why the reds are here. That, you know, it gives an explanation.
Right.
But that chirp takes out all that figuring it out and finding it out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can literally see it then. The definition, like I said, is a lot clearer with that chirp technology.
You know, there are some deep water spots that I would like to do that, especially bull red fishing,
mm-hmm.
Chip. You know, some of these
yeah.
spots that we fish, you know, we go over and we know that's the spot where we're going to fish, especially around where the old little jetties were at. I would love to go around there and pick away with one of those chirp systems.
Oh, Kevin and I always talk about it. If the water was super clear, I would love to send a diver down there to just tell me what... You know, why? You know, what's here? Is it undercut bank? You know, why? You know, why are they only in this 100-foot stretch and nowhere else?
That's true.
You
Kirk
know?
Used to do that at the jetties when he was younger.
Yeah. Crystal clear water. Oh, especially up there. Yeah. I get it. I totally get it. But it's just interesting. I mean, how the technology's gotten in
oh, yeah.
a lot of machines. But yeah. Yeah, I had
yeah,
my issues
real nice.
Too.
It's real nice to be able to look at the bottom and see what you're actually fishing.
Right.
You know, and not just a graph, you know, not a graph, but not different colors. That's what I like about that contrast with the yellows and the darks and the orange, you know, that orangey looking color. You can see it so much better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm real happy with it, you know. I have two different systems on my boat. I have two GPSs and two depth recorders.
Okay.
Combinations. So.
Okay.
And then I look at them. It's funny when I look at that down scan, and I look at my regular depth recorder.
Right.
I see so much more. You know. I mean, and I've looked at yours. Yours is nice too. But this one has
great.
A different kind of detail. So.
Well, that's it. Know. See, like I run what's called an A scope, and when I start trolling and start fishing, because the problem is, Chip, when you get out there off them wrecks, it's hard to. You're looking at this big old cloud, okay, and it could be bait or whatever, but I'm not truly going over the bottom, let's say, especially when I'm April, May gets here and the first of it, when you're kind of cobia fishing a little bit more
right.
than you are mackerel fishing, and you're trying to find that where that A scope, it's basically the same thing as, I guess, to a certain extent, as I guess it's down scan, because it only is giving you like a 20-degree or 30-degree shot of the bottom instead of the width of
right.
the megahertz that you're putting out.
Sure.
So it's a finer diversion, which just shoots underneath, and it takes away all that clutter unless it's that big of a school of beeliners or something or whatever that it will truly come up. But pretty much it only shows you the definition of what the bottom is and how hard it is.
It's a thin coat.
And the rise. You're right. It takes away all that.
That's
all
good.
That baitfish clutter and you know, whatever else it may be.
Gotcha.
So, anyhow. All right. Thanks,
oh, yeah,
Chip.
By the way, the fish are biting, too.
Yeah, I know. We didn't get to talk about that, did we? No,
yeah, you
okay.
guys will be talking about it on the next part of the hour, but it's a good bite right now.
You know,
get a good weather window. It's time to go.
Yep. And it looks like, I mean, Saturday and Sunday, I mean, it's going to be light north-northeast, you know, for inshore and stuff like that. But, I mean, gosh, it's just been the last 3 days. And I'm telling you, I think a half a day tomorrow is going to be you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, I would think after 12, 1 o'clock, you're probably going to start seeing the wind pick up a little
sure.
bit. You're going to see 10 to 15 by lunchtime tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee it. But, I mean, man, the last 3 days have just been stellar. I mean, what gorgeous
it's been
days
awesome.
To start fishing. So.
And now the change.
Yep, and now the change of tides.
Yep.
So, anyhow, thanks, Chip.
Thanks guys.
Chip.
Enjoy the time up there. See you later.
Yep.
Bye, buddy. All right, folks, going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a shout, call in 641-1010. You listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana. We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Folks, welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, sitting with my good buddy Captain Leon Dana. And I had one today, too.
What'd you do?
Well, you know, you always think that when you get home at night and, okay, well, I need to go ahead and plug her in and get her charged up for the next day.
Sure.
That, you know, everything's fine. By no means am I an electrician, okay? So what I'm fixing to say
no
probably,
one ever accused you of
no,
that.
No, I know that. Probably a lot of people go, really? I'm sorry, I just don't mix with electricity. Anyhow, I guess my battery charger went boo-boo and didn't want to run. Well, I know what's supposed to come on, and I look at it, you know, when I plug it in and stuff
sure.
like that, you get a red light, and then it blinks for a second, and then it goes to
into
three greens.
Mode.
And in charging mode, which I know what mine's supposed to say. Well, it did that. And I went, huh, okay. So when I came out this morning.
You had a red blinking light?
No, I hit the trolling motor, check my battery status, because it was acting weird the day before. And it's one of those things when you get out there and you hit the on button and you got the directionals where you start, and that head is just going
moving
really,
slow.
Really slow. You're going,
oh,
hey, God. And anyhow, so that was where I was. So I was at the oh, God stage. And so anyhow, one of my terminals had gone bad on the charging. So,
oh, really?
Because I have three batteries.
Sure.
Of course, just like we all do. And one of the terminals had gone bad on it, and it was the middle battery. So it was trying to charge one and three, but not two.
Ugh.
So what it was doing was saying it was charged and I had a full set of charge when being announced to me that because of that, the middle battery also, and it's brand new. I just got it 2 months ago.
Oh, that's good.
So the that battery, because of it trying to bounce back and forth, it had.
Did it bite the bullet?
Oh, that battery's gone, man. And so is the charger.
That's a bummer.
So anyhow, so thank you to Whalen Bay, real quick. Appreciate it. Brought it up there this afternoon at 12 o'clock when I got in. And so, yeah, it makes it tough. Again, like we always talk about, I mean, I got power poles, but it's just, I feel so, you know, restricted when I'm forced, especially for myself, when, you know, we can't get shallow like you, where your power poles are probably more used than your trolling motor is for the most part.
At times, yes.
Where I'm totally different. I don't know why I have a power pole on my boat because I never use it. That trolling motor is it. And I have, two times this year, I have just pulled the plug on the trip as soon as I troll. I mean, one day I had a...
We're done.
I had a board that went out and had a little fire, like chip head. And, you know, there is times. I mean, that trolling motor to me is...
What we're depending on.
That's it. And, I mean... Honestly, my anchor's still in plastic. You know, I got it there because the Coast Guard tells me I have to. But I mean, I'm not taking the risk of chunking anchors all day and 10 or 15 times. It's
no,
you know, next thing you know, you throw it up there in a soft mud or whatever, and you go to pull it out, and it goes doing, and it takes a big old chip right out of the bow of your boat. So I'm not an anchoring person. I mean, if I don't have a trolling motor, I don't go fishing. That's just me. But I have extra trolling motors, but you're never. It's not like you carry it around in the back of your truck just for that one or two times a year that your trolling motor goes down. So
I keep one at the house, that's for sure.
That's it. I mean, I got one at the house, you know, and I know I can go the next day. It doesn't help me for that day, and I feel bad when I have to tell my clients there's nothing I can do, but there isn't anything I can do about it. I mean,
right.
The trolling motor, to me, is everything. It's just the way it is. So anyhow, yep, again, thank you to Whalen Bay. They got me back up and running. I'll go pick up the boat tomorrow.
Cool.
It's going to be blowing anyhow. It's going to be snotty, so... But, yeah, so, I mean, basically, I guess, I mean, we talked. I mean, the fishing's fine. I mean, it's there. You got to work a little bit still. It's not, you know,
well,
I mean,
the water temperature's 60 degrees. The fish are only going to feed in two modes.
Yep.
Slow.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, you know, they're not going to chase
yep.
a bait
yep.
unless it's a
no,
trout.
No. And that's what I tell everybody this time of year, and I know you do the same thing.
Slow
it
down,
son. You deal with me. Don't move it. Just let it sit. Throw it. For you guys that are chasing these schooling fish, you're throwing it in front of the school,
uh-huh.
and you might bump it one time just for him to see it. But,
right.
I mean, if you add too much action to it, you're just going to split that school. I mean, that school's gone. I mean, they don't – they just going to come right up there to it because I witnessed that with when we all fished together
right.
a couple weeks ago. And it was. I mean – And,
yeah.
I mean, you throw the popper cork on their head, they're done. You throw it, you know, 10, 15 feet in front of that school and
just let the two
don't
intersect.
Even pop it. Don't even do nothing. Just let them come right to it.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Sure, the trout, of course, you know, you could do whatever you want because the trout loves to move something fast. I mean, I saw pictures this week. People are still throwing top waters early in the morning in these warmer days and stuff like that and catching plenty of trout. So that's not a problem. But it is. It's just, it's kind of just still working around. You know, we're still having to work, you know, kind of work around and find our fish and stuff like that. But once you find them, it's on.
Yeah. The real surprise this past week and the week before has been the amount of flounder that I'm catching all the way up in Palm Valley. And, folks, what I mean by that is I'm taking home anywhere 6, 8, 10 flounder a charter after I get my limit of redfish and whatever trout I can catch. And I'm not targeting the black drum. I'm going to my creeks and fishing the deeper holes around in these creeks. And I'm using, 8-ounce jig heads?
Mm-hmm.
8-ounce jig heads with mud minnows. And I'm absolutely just meleeing the flounder. I mean, literally
That's
every
crazy.
Cast. And now, folks, they're not big flounder. Okay? They're all like, you know, 13, 14 inches. And then you'll get a peanut. You
yeah.
just throw that sucker back because
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
just not going to clean a 12-inch flounder.
No.
But when you sit there and you make 5 casts and you catch 4 flounder in a row, you know, and then you miss one, you throw
yeah.
back out there and you get one again. Folks, if you have the time, think about your creeks that you like to fish where a creek opening, throw in there for some flounder just for giggles and see if you do pull up a couple because I have never seen them this thick.
Right, but the way you're talking creeks, you're not talking like, you're kind of telling me what I'm understanding this is like 2 feet of water all the way around you in a little hole that's like 10 or 12 feet deep. You're not gonna, what I'm trying to say is you're not going in a creek that you have 8 or 10 feet of water all the way around you, and you're catching them in 30 feet of water.
No, no, no. Well, all the creeks up in the valley, you know, you enter into a creek, and it may be anywhere from 2 to 4 feet deep max.
Right,
okay,
right.
And you get into one of these bends that happens to be six to ten feet.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's the spot you need to fish. For
I mean, you're up
flounder.
There, right? You're up there, and I mean, to me, that's shallow. You know, I mean that
sure,
you know,
compared to
you know. To what I would consider flounder fishing
sure.
in. And but what's so cool is it's kind of like a subspecies because the winter flounders, for the most part, are pretty, you know, I get that. But what I'm saying is you could get a sizable fillet off a 14-inch flounder where if you caught him in June, July, and August, there ain't nothing to him. You could read a paper through both sides.
I'll tell you what, every flounder I've cleaned, they're slap full of mud minnows, I can tell you.
Really?
They are just gorgeous.
See, that's crazy.
Mud minnows.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Huh.
And, I mean, you catch enough. I mean, limit still 10 per person.
Yeah.
I get a bag full of flounder fillets.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. They're nice. They're healthy little fish for being 14, 15-inch fish,
yep.
You know. But usually that's your wintertime fishery. And what's so cool, I've only done that a couple of times. And again, it's to where even on my bay boat, I'm barely getting in there, and they're just laying in one little section off an oyster bed has a deep little drop off in front of it.
Right.
Six, like you said, 6 to maybe 10 feet, no deeper than that.
Ooh.
And it's funny. I mean, you can just whack a mole right there.
You can.
And
it is like whack a mole. You throw in there, you go throw right back over there,
yep.
And drag it halfway back. You're going to feel a tick.
Yep. And I mean, it's just it's cool how that happens, even with the water temperature being as it is, you know. Because I really stopped fishing for them usually around Thanksgiving. I quit like somewhat targeting them. For me, they're more of a bycatch and stuff like that. Which again, this time of year, starting to throw more and more poppy corks for me around the oyster beds and stuff like that. I start picking up a more flounder here and there off the sand, you know, off the muddy part. Off the oyster bed and stuff like that, I'll start picking up.
Up till last week, Scotty, I was treating them like bycatch. You're like, oh, I got a nice little flounder. That's cool.
Yeah.
To, hey, y'all want to target some flounder for the cooler?
Yeah.
And I mean, we're filling a cooler with some flounder.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's nice to have. That's a nice bonus.
Yep.
It really is.
Yep. I saw the picture where you were catching it.
Water clarity is fantastic in the valley.
Boy, isn't it, though?
It's pretty. You know what's really neat? The amount of finger mullet I still have in the valley.
I saw that, too.
Huh.
I saw that, too, down South River by me.
Oh,
they were running the shoreline, and how I know that is the pelicans were all over top of them on the oyster bars and stuff like
them.
That. They're diving on the oyster bars, picking them off and stuff because, of course, this time of year, a finger mullet, unless it gets – you have a low tide in the middle of the day where they kind of warm up a little bit and they're a little spunky.
Right.
But that first thing in the morning low, like it was earlier, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it was funny. 8, 9 o'clock, these pelicans are diving on the shoreline. I'm going, yep. That they're trying to get in there because they just lay on the bottom and just kind of like just shake at one another. If one of them touches them with a fin, the other one goes, whoa, I got touched. You know, so it's not like it's summertime when you see them just, at least for me, for traveling down the bank. You know, they're kind of just laying around.
When I'm going down and I go into a creek or something like that, and, you know, I'm standing up on the platform and I'm going in, I can see the schools of them. They're traveling on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go, man, I should bring my cast in and whack these guys, you know.
Well, I mean, and usually, honestly, Leon, they're gorgeous little baits.
Oh, they are. They're primaveras.
I mean, 2 to 3 inch baits. I mean, they're gorgeous little baits.
Yep.
They truly are. Because they split off from the bigger, you know, you kind of look around, you'll watch there's different size schools that are around. You just got
to. Just like redfish.
Right, exactly. Where in the summertime, they're kind of all mixed in and hanging out together and stuff like that. You might have some 12-inch ones and some 2-inch ones, but. You know, normally this time of year they kind of split up a little bit and they get in different sizes. But I had a friend of mine who a great captain on St. Augustine. He texted me here a minute ago, and they went offshore yesterday and they got a big boat, and he runs a 60-footer, and he said that they got out there to the ledge, starting about 130 foot of water, and they bait fish yesterday. They were really just they don't high speed. A lot of people that are catching the wahoos and stuff like that right now are doing the high speeding, but by no means We'll see what this full moon brings
right.
in February. But for the most part, I mean, everybody's been catching a couple fish. It's not been any of those incredible 10 or 12 fish days and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, that's he said he caught some tunas and stuff like that, and actually the kingfish, he said, were fired up, he said, in 120 foot of water. And then other than that, then it was – he basically told me it was pretty darn slow and ended up dropping down on the bottom and stuff like that and fishing. And I would say and to his comments of what he's telling me, he said it was 73 degrees, but it was like really like blue-green water on the break. It wasn't clear. There was no bait. You know, I mean, outside, unless you went over ledges or whatever, you know, it marked good with bait and stuff like that. He said he actually caught amberjacks on the troll and stuff like that if they were pulling over hard bottom.
Right.
But this time of year, you're really staying around that 130, 150, and that's where kind of the wahoos and the tunas are marking and all that kind of stuff
gotcha.
This time of year. But other than that, you know, plenty of trigger fish, he said, and they just stopped in, which is not a bad thing at all. I'm kind of out of the trolling scene. I'd rather go catch triggers. And he said, of course, our endangered red snappers, he said, was just – they were just loaded in that 120-foot range. He said plenty of triggers and pink porgies and all that kind of stuff. So they just finished their day out bottom fishing. But he said it was a little snotty. He said it wasn't pretty. You know, he said it was a solid 3 to 5.
Ooh.
You know, but the funny thing is you looked at the beach.
Looked beautiful.
You know? And, I mean, I know what we had. We had southerly winds, a little bit of westerly in it in the morning. But, oh, my gosh, it was just – I mean, it was just – flat calm, he said, but by the time you got out about 30 miles, he said, it started getting a little sporty.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, all right, we've got to take a last and quick and final break real quick. We'll be right back. If you need to chime in, 641-1010. You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana. We'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana. Real quick, because I know we did it in the top of this thing, Leon, but we'll do the weather real quick one more time. We've got a couple minutes left.
All right.
South winds 20 to 25 knots with gusts around 35 for tomorrow, 4 to 6, occasional 8s. Then we got on Friday, we have west winds 20 to 25 knots with gusts to around 35, which I agree to that. It's going to be early in the morning, though. You're going to be fine.
Right.
You know, I think by the time we get started at 10 on Friday, I think we're fine. And then Saturday is going to be northeast winds 5 to 10, coming southeast in the afternoon 2 to 3. Sunday, north-northeast winds 5 to 10, becoming east-northeast in the afternoon. So it's doable. It might be, you know, you're going to have to take it slow. I think that's kind of a sucker forecast and stuff like that for the weekend. But if you stay close, you should be fine. But, I mean, it could be a little bumpy if you get offshore. But anyhow, Leon, I mean, fishing's good. We'll call it good.
Right.
I mean, it's nothing outstanding. I mean, you work, you catch. I mean, you're fine. I mean, that's my take on it. That's what
the
I've
next
seen
window
this week.
Is Saturday, which people can get out.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
Right.
I mean, and then Sunday, that's going to be decent. I mean, we just got to button down the hatches just for the next 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is. I mean, we just got off a window of 3 days, and it warmed up quite nicely. I think the water temperature is probably going to get as high as probably 63 degrees.
Yes.
Before it'll drop down just a little bit.
Yeah, because we're not having a huge temperature change
That's
through
correct.
This. That's the nice thing. I mean, we're Friday, I think the high is going to be 64 or 65. So
right.
it's not – and we're not really sitting any low. I think Monday or Tuesday or something or Sunday is going to be like low of 39, which is nothing. I mean, that's not going to create no jump in water temperature.
No, I totally agree with
we
you.
We should be fine. Captain Leon Dana, thank you, my friend.
Always
appreciate
a
you. Appreciate you coming in and helping me out tonight.
Absolutely.
You know, it's all good. Folks, we appreciate it. You are listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Scott Shank. Captain Leon Dana helped me out tonight. Have a great weekend, guys. Y'all be safe. Catch some fish.